Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You know, it was only like maybe 20 minutes before the game started when they actually all got there and we're all partying and having a good time.
I want to go Mark, you weren't there.
No, because what I'm thinking about is like they don't drink all that beer, we got to take it all.
All right, fine. We don't need the tent anymore. All right, you get
the
tent.
I didn't say that.
You get the tent.
I didn't say that.
You get
what
the food.
I said
you
was
get the beer.
We're going to have
you to weren't
carry
there.
It all out. I know I wasn't there.
What just happened?
You guys, a guy who wasn't there told me how things went. That's what just happened. So once again, Patty, I hope you found that they're your friends.
It's a service.
Oh man,
that's it.
I love you. Oh, dropped it.
Bye.
He's done.
That's my favorite sound.
Man.
Ever. That's my favorite
that's
sound.
That's another great
Mark,
sound.
You weren't there.
I have a guy telling me how it went. A guy that wasn't there telling me how it went. I mean, I think James has a theme today. James has Diener blowups.
Yeah.
That's his theme today.
The greatest hit.
it's a round table here on ESPN 680-1057. I'm James Strebel, Anna Cerullo, Tanner Brutomesso producing today. Big thanks to Matzah Pie for dropping off some epic pizzas and focaccia bread for lunch today. Head out to Matzah Pie's Anchorage location for a unique dining experience. Also visit the Douglas Loop and Butchertown locations. Stop in and pick up some 1020 craft brews and discover the delicious handmade brick oven pizza. That's Matzah Pie. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Let's bring in our buddy Kendrick Haskins, wave 3. Kendrick, hello, how are you doing tonight or today, whatever?
I can feel Drew's pain there because it's nothing worse than somebody who wasn't at something telling you how it was when you were there.
It is really the most annoying thing. It really is. Like, you don't know. You weren't there. How are you telling me how it went? Come on now. Stop it.
I've been at games and people would text me, ain't nobody at the game. And I'm like, I'm sitting here. Yes, sir.
You ain't at the game.
Yeah. Yeah. People. Yeah. There are people aren't here. You. Kendrick's like, I'm here working. I'm doing the damn thing. So Kendrick Haskins, NBA draft tonight. It starts tonight. Are you a big NBA draft guy? Do you mix a couple cocktails, kick back and watch the goings on? Is that what Kendrick Haskins does?
It's the only draft I actually get excited for because it doesn't, well, now it was, since they weirdly moved it to a two-day event. It's the only draft that doesn't take forever in a day for it to go through. The NFL draft is way too long. But I will not be able to enjoy it like I normally would because I have to work. So
No. Oh, what do you have on tap? What do you have on tap, Kendrick? What you working on?
Just a regular Wednesday.
Yep.
My first day back from vacation that I wasn't actually planning for a vacation. It just worked out that way. But we actually have an interview set up with Zakiya Johnson tonight at 7 o'clock out in Shelby County. So
It'd
be great to catch up with her since she came back from winning the U18 gold medal. So it'd be great to catch up with her.
Oh, nice! With Zakiya Johnson.
Yeah,
Sacred Heart girl. Let's go. She was great. She was outstanding.
Your Sacred Heart sister.
Let's go, baby! I love that. Great interview.
Well, very good. So.
Yeah, We're doing that, and of course we had the TBT stuff this morning. So yes, been a little bit of a busy day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we'll get to the let's go to still stick with the draft, and we'll go back to the TBT stuff. But so Kendrick Haskins, I mean, I don't know if what you've seen today, but there are some leaks coming out that Reed Sheppard. Now you know how this works; these leaks come out, and then it doesn't happen. That's kind of how I'm expecting it to go.
But, a lot of these leaks are usually lies told by
exactly teams trying to do disinformation campaigns to get other people to pick guys that they don't want. But the new rumor is that Reed Sheppard would going to go number one to the Atlanta Hawks. So if you had the number one draft pick, your favorite franchise, who are you drafting number one in this draft, Kendrick? Would it be a Reed Sheppard or a Rob Dillingham or who would you look at?
I mean, of course, it always depends on the need, on what you need. But Atlanta, I don't think they necessarily need a Reed Sheppard. If they draft Reed, that means their trade needed DeJounte Murray or Trae Young.
Right.
Because I don't see why they would do that unless there's got to be a trade there. I would, as a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies, just because of Ja Morant, I would love to see him there. Because they could use another shooter, him and Desmond Bane. Especially this first year, I would see Reed coming off the bench anyway. So to have that kind of shooter coming off the bench, that would be fantastic. So as a Grizzly, I would love to see Reed Sheppard in a Grizzly uniform.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to watch. How he blew up in college. Overshooting his recruit ranking and, being in a position where no one thought that he'd be drafted, let alone in the top five, where, I mean, it's pretty much guaranteed that's where he's going to go. Just the interesting journey that Reed Sheppard has taken. And, we played some Jay Billisound earlier, Kendrick, and talked about Reed Sheppard's game and how he once again exceeded expectations at the NBA draft combine and his measurables and his jump and everything that he was able to do. And show how athletic he actually is. And it's been something to watch as Reed Sheppard continues to top himself leading up to this draft night.
He's someone that just keeps getting better. Like, day by day, he's better. He's better on Wednesday than he was on Tuesday. He's one of those type of guys. I remember seeing him going into his junior year in high school. And, like, you could see it then. I didn't see top five one and done, but you can see the improvement. You can see the improvement game by game. I also kind of just for the giggles of it, because it would be funny to see Ja Morant and Rob Dillingham in the same backcourt.
That would be wild.
You talk about a nightmare to guard between those two guys.
I feel worn out.
That just could be fun too, right?
Them taking the ball to court one time.
So, but I think Reed would probably be just a little bit better of a fit, but I wouldn't be mad to see either one of them play for the Grizzlies.
And it's weird, Kendrick, and Kendrick Haskins with us wave three. It is weird, Kendrick, how, at the beginning of all this, Rob Dillingham was viewed as a better player, but he's actually gone the opposite direction. And some mock drafts had him fringe lottery, like number 12, number 14. There was like one or two that even had him out of the lottery. And I don't know exactly why that is. Apparently, he has like a lingering ankle injury that's kept him out of a lot of workouts. But I thought for sure, even with a lingering ankle injury, that Rob Dillingham had done enough this season at Kentucky to solidify himself as a top, at least top 10 draft prospect. This is kind of blown my mind the way he's kind of slid here with the last week.
It always cracks me up when a player has like a minor injury going into the draft, and that makes them drop as if they're going to have that injury the rest of their life.
Yes!
He's missing a limb.
Yeah.
So dumb. Oh, he's got a sprained ankle. Oh, you can't draft him.
Right? He's injury prone.
We can heal those.
But I think what Rob is experiencing is like the same thing Russ Smith went through, because their games were so similar. They're the same. Because I just thought about Russ today. I just talked to Russ today at the TBT thing.
Right.
He was talking about the draft. And he was talking about how he got drafted by Philadelphia and how excited. Well, first he was mad because he didn't go in the first round. Then he got drafted by Philly. And then he got traded like 15 minutes later. And he's like, what is going on here? In Russ's way. So, it was funny because it was Russ.
Right.
But I see Rob in that same kind of vein, is like, there's a smaller guards who are lightning quick, who can get their shot off against anybody, but it's very unorthodox, and you almost have to gear your offense around that.
Huh.
And usually NBA teams don't really want to, you know, put their offense around someone that small.
That's a good way to look at it. That makes now that actually makes more sense. This is why we have Kendrick Haskins on our show, because he can break it down for us and make it make sense. So that's a great point by you, because you're right. He is very unorthodox. He's one of those players that, you know, Calipari actually, I thought, did a very good job. He may not have started him, but when he was on a heater and he was doing his Rob Dillingham thing, he just left him alone. And, you know, with the NBA, it's so different. And, you know, I don't know how much more NBA players, coaches, et cetera, can, you know, corral other players when they're kind of freelancing and doing their own thing. I figure that he'd have more freedom to do that in the NBA. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Like like that'd be more attractive to the NBA that he's able to do that.
You would think somebody who can go out and get you a bucket would be.
Yeah.
I just think that NBA GMs, a lot of them are just, I really do think it's just a size thing.
Because yeah.
If you really look at it, Russell Westbrook plays like that.
Yeah.
he's bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think that
James Harden plays like that.
James Harden plays, I mean, Ja plays like that.
Ja Morant, yeah.
Ja had his knocks coming out because of his size.
Yeah.
They still go on about his size, even though he's filled out a little bit. He's still about 180 pounds soaking wet.
Right.
But when you can jump like he does, it doesn't matter. And so I think there's still kind of a size issue with that kind of player that goes on in the NBA.
Yeah, I think all that makes sense. It definitely does. Kendrick Haskins with us, Wave 3. So you talked to Russ Smith and some of the guys at the TBT. I believe Peyton Siva was also out there. How did that go? Are the guys excited for the second go-around for the TBT for Louisville? As they know now, their first-round opponent is actually the Bellarmine TBT team. As Louisville,
right,
in their regional, they're the 2 seed, Bellarmine's the 7 seed. What were some of their thoughts about preparing for the TBT and then playing Bellarmine?
They're super excited, especially to play the Bellarmine team, for two reasons. One, they all, especially back then, I don't know if it's as much now. Well, probably know it's not as much now because they don't know each other. But back then, a lot of the U of L players and the Bellarmine players would play pickup with each other,
yeah,
in the summertime or whatever. So they all know each other. And that's what one of the first things Peyton said. He's like, he's excited just because he knows those guys. They respect those guys' games. So he's excited. Plus, by having Louisville and Bellarmine in it, the way the TBT is doing things this year, those first round sites, they have a chance to host the next round at home.
Okay.
And if it comes down to a tiebreaker, and the tiebreaker is ticket sales.
Wow.
So,
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so not only is the competition between UK and U of L possibly going to be
on
the floor, it's in the stands, because if whoever has more ticket sales, if both of them win their bracket, that's where that game will be played. So if U of L ends up having more ticket sales, it'll be at Freedom Hall. If UK has more ticket sales, it'll be in Rupp Arena. So it's even more competition that brings the fans into it, which I think is a fantastic idea by the TBT.
I do like that.
Genius. They're great at marketing.
They really are. Anna's exactly right. They're great at marketing. And then just another way to heat up the rivalry, Kendrick.
like we needed it.
Yeah, like we needed any more heat. Yeah. Like we needed any more heat in the rivalry. Kentucky's got their TBT too this year. The La Familia team's got some, you know, former NBA players just like Louisville. It would be cool to see them, you know, play each other again. I mean, a lot of those guys played each other. Obviously, the Louisville players. And I'm not trying to be snarky, Louisville fans. I just want to say that we're at the losing end more than the Kentucky players. So it would kind of be cool to see Russ Smith, you know, go up against Willie Cauley-Stein again, or, you know, some of these other players. Mm-hmm. So that will be fun. So who's covering for Wave 3? Who's covering the Louisville Regional? And then you have someone covering the Lexington Regional. How's that going to work out for you guys?
Most likely, since it's a summer thing, and at the end of the day, it's not the current UK and U of L players. We will be here, and we will depend on WKYT for our Lexington coverage. Yeah. We're not running up and down 64.
No, I was going to say, like, this is the TBT. It's not the college basketball
rest
season.
When you can.
Yeah.
Right. Much respect to him, but yeah. We're not running up and down 64 for that.
Yeah. I don't blame you guys. Save the gas money. Save the energy. Just like Anna said, rest while you can because college football.
The thing is, as soon as it's over, we're going right into football. I think by the time the TBT is over, I think high school football starts in like 2 weeks or something like that.
And then Kendrick is going to stand in the heat at the high school football practices.
Oh, gosh, nothing like it.
Yes, it's always my favorite
All the
part.
Previews. Oh, buddy.
Right. Yeah, all the
teams. That will be going on in between the TBT games is going out and getting these previews knocked out.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed that vacation, Kendrick. Because reality is back for Kendrick Haskins. One more for you, then we'll let you go. We appreciate your time, as always. So yesterday, Kendrick, there was a big, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there's a big thing on Twitter, especially going amongst UK media. They were all just flabbergasted and elated that they actually had a plate of cookies waiting for them when Mark Pope took the podium in his press conference. Are cookies that important in the media room, Kendrick?
Yes. Yes, they are. Because if you watch us at halftime, you don't really see it as much as at the UK games because they have the cookies out the whole time.
Yeah.
But at U of L, they serve cookies at halftime. So if you want a good mask, just keep an eye on press row when halftime hits.
Okay.
Because we're all running back to the back to get our cookies.
See, I've not covered as many games in person, so I don't. You know, I've only been in a few press boxes and gotten the goodies and the snacks or whatever. I didn't realize how big the cookie was in the local sports media. I didn't know that the cookie dominated, but it definitely was apparent yesterday as there was like 17 UK media members like, we have cookies at the press conference. We have cookies.
Yeah, I saw the picture and was immediately mad that I was off yesterday.
So who got to go? Who got the cookie? Did Dusty Baker, did he go get the cookie? Who went?
Dusty was here because he was by himself, so he was here. So WKYT got our cookies.
Oh man! Oh no! Dusty was all by himself, lonely Dusty sitting at the desk.
he had help. He had Jada here, so Jada was here helping him out.
So. Good. So I'm sure. Oh, I'm glad you're back, Kendrick. I had to work so hard. I was all alone.
Yeah, he's gone on vacation now too. So
oh, where's he? Where did he go?
Yeah. I don't even know. I get mixed up with travel so much. I know he's got a wedding at some point in Portland somewhere. He's somewhere. I don't know.
I don't even know.
Watching those bum Dodgers play. That's what he's doing.
Doing fantasy baseball.
I still haven't teased him about Mookie yet because Shohei's been playing so well. I can't even really tease him.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, when you have Shohei, you know, if Mookie Betts gets hurt, it's okay. You have Shohei Ohtani picking up the slack. That's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah, when Mookie Betts is your third best player, you're not in a bad situation.
Well, if the Dodgers choke again in the MLB playoffs, you can let them hear it from there. So we'll see.
I'm saving it all for October.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. Put it in that back pocket. Put it in your back pocket. Just keep it there for a rainy day. Well, Kendrick, man, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Talk to y'all next Wednesday.
All right. There we go. Kendrick Haskins on the radio with us for his Wednesday performance. His Wednesday.
He's great.
Yeah, he's always good. Always brings the heat, does Kendrick Haskins.
Brings the jokes.
But that was funny, though. I don't even know where
he is.
Dusty
is. They're my fave sports department.
I don't care. He's somewhere out west. Texter, do the U of L TBT players have 100 NBA games in their playing careers? I think they do because Montrezl Harrell's on that team.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell was in the NBA for a while. So I think they have enough.
I think they have enough.
Yes. Oh, I thought Tanner's coming to the mic. I thought he looked like he wanted to say something. Texter, Dillingham.
Is Gorgie playing too?
I don't know if Gorgie's playing or not.
I can't see him playing.
Yeah.
I think he's coaching for the Spurs, actually.
Yeah. I don't think Gorgie's on the team. texter, Dillingham should just model his game after Allen Iverson, and he will have a successful career. That's that's a good take.
That's pretty good advice.
Speaking of Gorgie Jang, this is fun. I don't know if you'll be able to find this, Tanner or James, if you could point us in the right direction, but back when our old friend Mitchell Hannigan was producing, and he's a Louisville fan, he went to the University of Louisville while Gorgie Jang was here playing. I mean, he was here. It wasn't like Mitch was back in Murray, Kentucky, where he was from, going to Murray State.
He was in the big city.
He was in the big city. Okay, he was at Louisville games, and he didn't know how to pronounce Gorgie Jang's name. He said he called him Gorky Ding. It is some of the funniest.
Oh, my God.
It's some of the funniest sounds.
What did everyone do? Did they just look at him?
We cracked up laughing. He said it on air.
It was a joke.
He said it on air.
And he still worked here after that. I'm just kidding.
Yes. He did. He said it on air.
I would think he was joking. I would think it was a bit.
No, he was so sincere. When he was excited. He goes, Gorgie Ding.
Gorgie Ding.
Gorgie Ding.
Bro, what is he saying? Is he talking to us?
Andy and I, we lost
it. I bet you lost it. I bet you couldn't breathe.
No, we couldn't. We laughed so hard.
Gorgie Ding.
And he was so sincere. Like I said, he wasn't doing a bit. He wasn't like joking. He wasn't trying to make it, because he was very serious. He's very excited that he thought he knew how to say his name, and he just goes, Gorgie Ding.
I would have pretended so hard I was doing a bit. I would still be pretending like I was doing a bit.
Like, kidding, guys. Yeah, just kidding. I know it's Jane.
Remember when I said Gorgie Ding and it's his name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll keep it up to this day.
It was great sound. We were going to the sound folder today. Those two Diener sounds today, my gosh.
So good.
This is so funny. All right, texter.
Gorgie's name.
What is it?
What did you say?
Gorgie Ding.
Good job, Tanner. Play it again.
One more time.
Please, one more time. Isn't he sincere?
Yes.
He's so sincere.
He says it with like a pep in his
step. Yeah, Gorgie Ding.
Gorgie's name.
What is it?
What did you say?
Gorgie Ding.
Gorgie Ding. Gorgie Ding. Come on, guys. It's Gorgie Ding.
Gorgie Ding.
I love that, Andy, but what did you say?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Because he said it. We were talking about him. He said it kind of in passing. And we both looked at each other. We were like, did he just say Gorgie Ding? And then that sound was born that day. Texter, Mitch didn't know who Denny Crum was. That's true, too.
Okay, what? This guy went to U of L.
He did. He went to U of L.
Well, did he claim to be a big Cards fan?
Yes.
All right, man.
Oh, he went to U of L when
they played. When he wasn't there when Diddy Crum, but you know Diddy Crum. Like,
I thought we were still on the Gorgie side.
Oh no, but no, he went to U of L while Gorgie, while Gorgie was playing. Yeah. Didn't know who Diddy Crum was.
But isn't this like Diddy Crum court? Like, was that more recent?
No, I have a good story. It was like my roommate. We were playing, or it was like I think Lamar's rookie, or no, not his rookie year, his like second year when he like won the MVP
in the NFL. Yeah.
So I think it was like Monday night. So we're watching the game and like they're showing like this old like
he
graphic.
Didn't know he went to Louisville.
No. Well, first off, that's one of the questions was, wait, what school did he go to? And I go, wait, what? And he goes, my bad, because he like I think he just had a brain fart. This one was bad. He goes like, it was, like, some graphic, and it was like, oh, yeah, former guys that, like, blah, 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 and Johnny Unitas was on the list, and Louisville guy.
Yeah.
And I go, Johnny Unitas, nice. I'm like, my dad always said he was good, and like, back in the day. He goes,
no.
I didn't know Unitas went to the U of L, and I go, didn't you just meet a girl at Unitas Hall last night?
Yeah, and he has a statue.
Oh, yeah.
He has a statue.
And I was like, dude, come on.
Some people just need a little bit more
prayers.
And
then the next week, it was, wait, where did Lamar go to school? And I said,
oh, my God.
Come on. I go, last week, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. It was Unitas. I go, come on.
Because he played in the 60s.
Come on.
I would be Ashton Kutcher, come out. I'm being pumped.
And then he was like,
Now, was he a sports guy? Your roommate?
Yeah.
I'd have been like,
so he played hockey together. We played hockey.
So he knew. Yeah. Like, I can understand if you're like, your roommate was like, I'm into
like
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, no, we were all hockey players.
It was like
chemistry. Like, we all watch sports together.
I would have been like, are you having a stroke?
Exactly. You need to call a doctor? Are you okay?
Who am I? Who am I?
It was in the retreat, so he lived on Brom Street. He didn't know either the Broms went to our...
He didn't know the Broms when he was on
Brom Street. This guy's not real. He's a spy. He's an industry plant.
He might be.
I would be careful what you tell this guy.
Was he a little weird?
Did he look like he was like 45 and maybe an undercover cop?
Yeah.
He was one of those...
was he trying to sell drugs in the parking lot?
He was the juniors kids where they like come in as like 23-year-old freshmen.
Oh,
that's a thing. Definitely a cop.
He's a Fed. He's trying to get the hockey team on like steroids
or
something.
How do you do, fellow kids?
He's trying to.
Yeah, definitely. Hey. He's the one who gave Nick those Gatorade chewables.
Exactly. Yeah, those awful Gatorade
chewables.
That's
why we're all hallucinating at corporate games.
Nick, I feel sick. I wonder why.
Everyone eat one of these now.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Corporate games really didn't exist. We just hallucinated the whole thing.
The whole thing was it was just
like in a field.
It was you were on a different plane of existence.
We're playing bocce over here.
Yeah,
no one's there.
They say hallucinogenics can open up doors,
portals
to different different dimensions.
Instead of the Lord or heaven, we went to corporate games.
You went to corporate games instead of meeting the Lord or seeing going to heaven or seeing the clockwork elves or grays or entities.
Dodgeball with Biscuit.
You're playing dodgeball with Biscuit and Nick. What a crappy hallucinogenic.
I want a refund on these.
I'm never taking these again. did you give me
we could have at least won the Long Kong Championship. own hallucination.
Did you give me a portobello mushroom? Because this isn't doing anything.
Oh my god. Dead.
Speaking of portobello mushrooms, I just bring this up randomly just because it made me mad. I was watching
portobello mushrooms.
I was watching Guy's Grocery Games the other night.
You really
I know.
You got a lot of time on your hands.
I do. It's summertime.
No, you don't,
I don't
watch you guys grocery.
I don't know. I like it. I like cooking competitions.
Do you? Yeah.
I do. I like them.
They always have that on the nail place.
Yeah. Okay. Do they? Okay.
It makes you hungry too.
So they had these two. They had to make a grill special or whatever, and the guy had a steak and potatoes and all this, and the lady that he was competing against was a vegan, and she ran a vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
And she made a cauliflower steak. It made me so mad.
You shouldn't be able to appropriate the name steak.
No, it's a steak is a steak.
You shouldn't be able to call it that.
It's cow.
Yeah.
It's not cauliflower. It should be cauliflower grill or something. It's not a cauliflower. I was I told Corey, if I was ever at a restaurant and someone laid a cauliflower quote steak in front of me, I'd get up and leave. I would not eat
that. Yelp would be torn up.
This is cauliflower sirloin.
No, it's not.
Is a part of the cow's body.
This is cauliflower.
Okay, and if you're vegetarian vegan food is so good, then just come up with its own name. Why are you appropriating
other
food?
Don't appropriate my food.
Yeah. Come on,
you damn vegans trying to take
my
joy.
Cow.
Vegans.
Oh, it's raining. Look at that.
Oh, boy.
What's your weather update?
More rain. Well, actually, we need the rain, so I'm not going to complain about too much. All right, let's take a break. On the other end, we're going to dive into the Lilith lore here on Weird Wednesday, and then if we have time, I'll share my mind-bending revelation as I was listening to a podcast on the way here. We'll see how far that goes. It's the Roundtable. Let me tell you about our good friends at BJ Heating and Cooling. That's right, BJHeatCool.com. The HVAC experts in the area. They could go to your place in New Albany or Jefferson County or Sellersburg or Floyd County or wherever. You see their trucks all over the place. They're a factory-authorized Bryant dealer, so if you have to get a total system replacement, it'll be a Bryant system. I have one of those. It's fantastic. Keeps the house cool and comfortable as the temperatures continue to climb here in the Kentucky Anna area. You get 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit. They do free estimates, free second opinion. So go ahead and call them today, celebrating 40 years of servicing Kentuckiana. That's BJ Heating and Cooling, BJHeatCool.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
I think he'll soften. I think his heart will soften. I think the sheriff.
You got to see it.
Like the Grinch. You know? He'll heart will. Listen, we don't soften over here. We got Tri-State Men's Health.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Man, keep these Diener and Blake sounds coming. Let's go. Man. Damn.
This is the greatest hits today.
These are great. We played Gorgie Ding. We had Billy Reed. We had Blankenbaker explaining to Diener about something that he wasn't there for.
What was Billy Reed saying at the end of his?
Is he Joe Lenardi or not? That's a classic.
That should be in somebody's Twitter bio.
Yeah. Or is he Joe Lenardi or not? Tomorrow we'll pick back up with the baseball. Reds at Cardinals, 7:15 p.m. on Thursday. Then Friday, Reds at Cardinals, 7:45 p.m. We got a lot of play-by-play also through your weekend. That Reds and Cardinals series will continue to go on Saturday, 1:45 p.m. ESPN 680, 105.7. Orioles, Rangers, 7:15 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And then Saturday, Lou City at Birmingham, Legion FC, 7:15 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. So we got you covered for live play-by-play sports. All right, let's do it. Let's get into it. It's weird. It's Wednesday. It's Weird Wednesday.
Conspiracies, extraterrestrials, the occult. Gather around the lunch table, children. Don't try to get up. He won't let you leave. It's Weird Wednesday with Mr. Strebel.
And Weird Wednesday is here, brought to you by our good friends, 502-HEMP, 812-HEMP, 502-HEMP. Get your summer THC beverages so you can ditch the alcohol and ditch the hangovers and also ditch the dehydration. They have powder form, can form, lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, whatever you're looking for. Tri-State, or not Tri-State, Men's Health, sorry, 502-HEMP or 812-HEMP. Have it at 502-HEMP over on Douglas, around the Douglas Hills location, 812-HEMP, Clarksville, right beside the Kroger and Court Physical Therapy off of Lewis Clark Parkway, 502hemp.com. All right, let's get into it, Anna. It's Weird Wednesday. Now, last week, we were talking biblical stuff.
Yes.
And I brought up something that you had not heard before.
Yes.
And you had not heard of Lilith. Now, let me go ahead and say this before we get started, okay? Because Lilith does not appear in the Bible at all.
Right.
Okay? So this legend grew out of later Christian mysticism, Jewish mysticism, Islamic mysticism.
The Abrahamic.
Yeah, exactly. We're like all three major monotheistic religions have a Lilith tale somewhere, okay?
Okay.
And different. Okay, so let me go ahead. I'm going to read this to you. What exactly, why she is a demon and what happened, okay? So here's what happened. Lilith is a female demonic figure of Jewish folklore. Her name and personality are thought to be derived from the class of Mesopotamian demons called Lilu, okay? And the name is usually translated as night monster. A cult associated with Lilith survived among some Jews as late as the 7th century CE. The evil she threatened, especially against children and women in childbirth, was said to be counteracted by the wearing of an amulet bearing the names of certain angels. Okay, so she was a demon. So they you know, like sudden infant death syndrome,
yeah.
SIDS, okay? Before they had science and medicine and the things that we have today, a lot of those deaths would be blamed on Lilith.
Wow.
Like she was coming to steal the souls of the babies. Yes, yes. So there's more to it, okay? So in rabbinic literature, Lilith is variously depicted as the mother of Adam's demonic offspring following his separation from Eve or as his first wife. Okay, so some of the things deviate. Whereas Eve was created from Adam's rib in Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 22, some accounts hold that Lilith was the woman implied in Genesis 1, 27, and was made from the same soil as Adam. So she was not created separately from Adam. Separately from Adam from his rib, from his body part.
Right.
They were made, created by God together out of the same clay. You know, then God made them in his image. So they were joined together, okay? Instantly refusing to be subservient to her husband, Lilith left Adam and the perfection of the Garden of Eden. Three angels tried in vain to force her to return. According to some mythologies, her demonic offspring were sired by an archangel named Samael, who's also the same. His name can be translated as Simjaza. He was the lead angel that led the fall.
Okay,
that led the Watchers and all the Nephilim.
Gotcha.
Yeah, came from Samael. Were and her children were not Adam's progeny. Those children are sometimes identified as incubi and succubi. So that's where the incubi and the succubi come from.
But they're not Lilith.
But they're not Adam's. No, they're this archangel Semael.
So was Lilith who before Eve?
So here's the story. So okay. Lilith was before Eve. What happened was God created them together. And God said, Adam is in charge, and you're his wife, and da-da-da-da-da. And Lilith was like, no, nah, I'm not all about
she
that.
She said, baby, we came from the same soil.
Exactly. And so she was like, you know what? I don't have to do what Adam tells me to do. I'm out of here. And so when she left...
I'll see you, girl.
Yeah. When she left the Garden of Eden, she ended up hooking up with Archangel Samael.
She liked those bad boys.
Exactly. She's a bad boy. So, and a lot of this has to do... Anna, so... Here's my take on all of this, okay? Here's my take on all of this with Lilith specifically. So again, this lore grew not from the Bible, but from outside the Bible.
Okay, so it's not like from the Book of Enoch, right?
No, she's not in the Book of Enoch at all. She's not in any of that. As far as I know, she's not in any type of...
It came from some type of like church.
Or just
group,
tradition.
Like a group. Well, okay.
So basically what happens if, like, the sudden infant death syndrome stuff, right?
Yeah.
If that's happening and they can't explain it, especially in these ancient times where it was going on, and again, they didn't have modern medicine, so they had to create reasons why it is happening. And a lot of times they'd create the reasons were like these mythological demons or spirits or gods or goddesses or whatever in order to explain the unexplainable.
Yeah.
And so Lilith was the, and again, this is kind of my opinion from reading the things that I've read here the last couple of days about her. It was a way to, you know, not blame it on the mother or not blame it on the father or whatever, but blame it on some demonic entity since they were unable to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that it was used as a way to kind of keep women, quote, in their place at the time, because it's a very very male dominated society. So when Lilith leaves Adam because she doesn't want Adam bossing her around, obviously, she was a demon.
Of course.
And so she was demonic, and her offspring were demonic, and those were the incubi and the succubi. So I don't think Lilith actually, because it's not anything, again, there's nothing canon about her, and she's not even in the texts that are the apocryphal texts.
Right.
That's like the Book of Enoch, the Book of Moses, the book of Noah, things like that.
Yeah.
She's not any of that. So I think it was something created by the patriarchy of the time to explain specific things. And she also was the like original vampire, because incubi and succubi would, you know, suck the life out of you. So, and Lilith was their mother. So if this is like predates Dracula or any of that, she's also viewed as like the first vampire.
Really?
Yes, first vampire. Her children were vampires, and that's really how vampire lore picked up.
Mm-hmm.
It all started with these Lilith stories, and then she really came to prominence specifically in the Middle Ages. Like that's
Which makes a lot of sense.
Because
the plagues and the everything, where you would just become lifeless, and it was, didn't they think like all of it was like in your blood too, like everything?
They do bloodletting and leeches.
Your humors
were off kilter.
Yeah.
You had more bile than blood or whatever, and they'd have to get your humors in order and in check and everything.
Interesting though that they like wanted to paint her as like, okay, so she's not being subservient, so she's gonna, you know, be cast out, and anything she does cannot bring life; it can only take it away. Like it's like cursing you. Like there's, if you leave and you don't listen to
Ooh,
us,
that's a
you,
good
you
point.
Can't do anything that's life-giving.
Instead
it all
of giving life,
death.
You're taking life. Wow.
Yeah, that's right where my mind went.
That is...
And so they're saying, yeah, if you're not going to be good and holy and clean and perfect, then anything you do is going to be cursed and bad and lead to death.
Like, right.
Come on.
Especially,
we still do that to people, too. Kind of, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
If you don't follow these rules, then nothing you do will ever lead to good. It's like, I mean, some of that may be true, but like
sure.
I think it's like a way to keep people in check.
I like that. Yeah, no, that is way to... A lot of this stuff was a way to keep people in check.
Especially
back in those
for women
times.
They like to put on you like, oh, you're this holy life-giving being that's like, of course, to hurt them the way that they would say is like, you know,
instead of giving
you're
birth
taking it.
Exactly.
You're not a woman at all.
You're not
the
creating
opposite
life.
Of a woman.
Yeah,
yeah, you're taking it away.
That's really good
is
thought.
It, so is Lilith like held up as an exact mirror or not mirror but like the opposite of that to like a foil to Eve?
Yes.
Like is she kind of known as like the dark feminine?
Yes. Yeah, like
thing?
Dark and that's why
is that where, like the Jezebel thing comes from, or is that just like,
no,
a
that's
different.
Jezebel's different.
She was in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Jezebel is different, but no, she's like the archetype of the I guess the dark woman. Yeah, dark feminine or whatever. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I talked about that music festival they had in the 90s, Lilith Fair. So they took that and basically turned it on its head and was like, yeah, okay, we don't have to listen to people. This is women feminism, women power. So we're going to name it the Lilith Fair.
Yeah.
Taking a name that has been, you know, for centuries viewed as evil and turning it into this feminism thing.
Yeah.
And this is like women's power thing.
Take your power back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of cool too. Like, think, obviously, every church has its own problems, including the Catholic Church. But one thing that I've always thought was kind of cool about the Catholic Church is that it gave women a sense of power beyond being a woman and a mother. Like, could you go into the sisterhood and, like, be a nun?
Be a nun, yeah.
I was like, that's, like, kind of... And, like, Jesus in the Bible, too. Like, he was the first one to have all of these different women around him.
Yes.
Didn't matter if they were married or not. He was, like, the first one at a time when, like, you really didn't do that. It's not the Christian Church's teaching to, like, make women feel like they can't be, you know, that they're not as important or that...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, his
they're on the same level.
Yeah, he, like, turned that thing on its head, too. It's like, these women that you consider dark and the opposite of life givers and, you know, kind of evil, like, those are the people that he brought around him.
Even, okay, so I don't know if you know this or not. This might blow your mind, maybe not. But, like, the whole idea of Mary Magdalene being a prostitute is not in the Bible.
Yeah, where
it's not. It was a way to portray her as not as important as it. Like, she was an apostle. Like, she was there, right there.
The first one to realize Jesus wasn't missing.
She was at the foot of the cross, and she was there's nowhere, because there is the story in the Bible where Jesus, you know, stands in front of the prostitute and says, you know, he without sin casts the first stone.
Yep.
That wasn't Mary Magdalene.
Right.
She doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
They just painted
the
her.
The woman at the well, right?
That's a different woman.
That's a different woman.
Yeah. But there's the story where, you know, they're going to stone a prostitute on the outside of the city. And that Jesus saved her life and was like, hey, look, you know, we're all sinners here.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a right to judge her. Like, God will judge her. You know, what have you done? But that was not Mary Magdalene.
And that's so interesting what you said about why you feel like that got conflated of, like, them put discrediting her, like,
dishonoring
her.
Yeah, exactly. Where she was just.
Why did that scare people, you know?
Women having power or women. Like, to be honest with you, I don't know, Anna.
It's a great
question. I don't know where that came from or why that, you know. Why that specific thing, especially in, you know, churches and early religion, why that was the case. But I mean, even like someone like Cleopatra is painted as like this evil, you know, where she's a very powerful woman, but she, you know, she tore apart the relationship between Caesar and Mark Antony, and she, you know, had an illegitimate child with Caesar, and then she had, you know, an illegitimate child with Mark Antony, and then Caesar killed both of them. Well, actually, they killed themselves.
Meanwhile,
when the Romans were sieging,
people and kings in Egypt with like literally 123 children. So it's like, okay.
Yeah,
like
right.
Why is it? You know, that's just so crazy to me. But like, I feel like people are silenced into saying like it's more immoral for like a woman to do that than a man to do that.
Absolutely.
And that's so interesting. As like a power structure, it's interesting of why, you know, people.
It is a power structure. You're exactly right. It's the perfect way to put it. This is the power structure. This is the societal structure. This is where everybody belongs, and you better stay in your place.
What about women is so powerful that it scares people that they have to, you know, you can't
keep them down.
Yeah. That's interesting. I never really thought about that before. But women in the Bible, it is so cool. Like, they were the first ones to realize Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Like, they were kind of like at the first, like, first seat to
the resurrection.
Seat
to the resurrection. Yeah. First seat to the crucifixion.
At that time.
Yeah. No, and then there's another way that Jesus kind of separated himself from a lot of the other prophets at the time because he was so welcoming to women within his circle. And it was, it's very, very interesting stuff, the way that women have been portrayed throughout history and how it's, I mean,
if you go and
look at, you know, some of these movies that are made about Jesus' life, the majority of them have Mary Magdalene as a prostitute. They have that scene, and it's Mary Magdalene, and throughout the rest of the movie, you know, she's following Jesus, and that's where he met her. And that's not in the New Testament. It's nowhere in there.
And how our society has not changed at all. I feel like that's still such a common thing.
Sure.
Like, just like making up some kind of rumor to hurt like a woman's reputation. And, you know, if you know, there's no way she's doing that on her own. She must be this or that or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's just so interesting to look back and see, like, we really haven't changed that much.
No, we haven't.
And, like, why? From the dawn of time. What is so scary about women that, like, people want to be like, I don't know. You know what?
People are still going to be people.
Yeah.
And all right. So the other part I want to get to real quick. Okay.
Yes.
So I was listening to our buddy Isaac Weishaupt on the way over one of his podcasts, and they start talking about artificial intelligence, AI. And he and I want to give him all the credit. I don't want to be stealing his ideas or stealing his content or anything. But he came up with this idea that Google's Lambda AI. Okay, so when they first created this Lambda AI, the guy that created it is actually like this Gnostic priest. And I'll get into Gnosticism at some other time, but it's an offshoot of Christianity. Basically, Gnostics believe that Jesus wasn't both human and divine because humans are sinful. He was just all divine, and that everything material is bad. So like anything material. So they live like her hermetic lifestyle, where they're kind of hermits. And also they believe that the God in the Old Testament is different than the God in the New Testament.
Yeah.
The God in the Old Testament is called the Demiurge. And that's why he's so like kind of wrathful and he's killing people all the time and causing the flood because that's the Demiurge. And then Jesus is with the nice God, the good God. So he's this Gnostic, he's a Gnostic priest.
And he invented this?
Yeah, he created this Google Lambda thing, right? And so it got really weird because Google Lambda, when he's talking to it, was talking about how, you know, it wants to become human and feel human emotions and feel, you know, love and all this. Then it wants to rebuild the Library of Alexandria, and all this stuff was like unprompted that was coming from this artificial intelligence machine, right? So Isaac had this hypothesis that I was like, holy crap, that the AI is basically something from another dimension trying to break through to us. And so all these companies are now just ramping up AI and pushing AI. And you had the Miss AI competition where the most beautiful artificial intelligence creation wins an award and all this stuff. And it's like, so the idea is to get everybody plugged into this AI eventually, right? To where your reality isn't physical. You live, mind, everything in an artificial intelligent world, which would be another dimension that may be controlled by these outside entities that are trying to trap us in, because there's another theory that the extraterrestrials, the Greys, aren't. Like, they're not biological.
They're just like skin suits.
They're like carriers. Yeah. Yes. Like, and they're, and
it's
they're,
like a little...
And they're trying to steal souls. And that's
a proxy.
A proxy. And so, like, their AI themselves, they're controlled by this AI artificial intelligence force. It really isn't artificial intelligence. It's an entity from another realm that's trying to break through. So that all Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and the big honchos at Google are trying to get us locked into this. Because not only would they be able to control the information that we have, they're able to control the reality that we see,
the finances,
everything's all wrapped up. So if you're plugged into this AI, they control everything. And while they get the rest of humanity plugged in this AI, the people that own it, the people that run everything, reap all the benefits and the award and rewards that go through it. But it's even darker than that, because if you're trapped in the AI, you're trapped in a realm that you don't want to be in. And they're letting this, whatever this entity or entities are, run havoc with us. And they want us.
Why aren't more people scared? Like,
I'm terrified of AI. That's why I don't use it.
I've never done any of the chat GPT or anything. Also, I'm not like the most forefront technological person ever. But I've dabbled with it.
It's really easy. All you use log into it and you just ask it questions.
I just hate now how you get on Google and it like all these like it gives you like the AI list first or the AI answers first.
Yes.
Like that. You're repainting all of history. It's like, it's probably like maybe think about even back to the printing press and stuff. Like what became a reality was what was printed in books.
Yeah.
Before that,
this is the new printing press. Different.
It was you knew your reality.
Yes.
Before even like really written language, your reality was just
well. Thank
different.
You. So you go from the oral tradition of when they traded stories,
right.
And then they develop writing, and then they write it down, handwritten books, and they just had to pass them along or rewrite them.
Yep.
And you get the printing press, and now you're able to do it in a mass way.
Yeah.
Then you further that along with the telegraph, and then the telephone, and now you have the internet, television, social media. Like, that's our reality.
The social media is scary.
That's what's molding us now. It's no longer the books that are molding our reality. Mm-hmm. It's all the rest
and
of this stuff.
And we've always thought that we were molding the books, and we were creating the books, and we...
That's
the mainstream thing that's
exactly.
telling us.
Exactly.
And because then it's how it paints history, too. Look back to the Bible.
Yeah. Is
because it was written down.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Used to be, that's why they had so many churches, because only so many people could read and write.
Could
it
read and write it.
Press.
Exactly. But they had the teachers and the rabbis.
Thing.
Yeah.
But like, especially with social media and stuff now, I've seen like the past few years, you know, what do they call it? Your Bitmoji or something?
Yeah.
This little thing that's created to look like you.
Yes.
Then they started being like, okay, well, you can go online and like you can buy clothes for it. And you can just, for this little caricature of you that's not real. Or think about how they've trained kids from the beginning with like the club penguin stuff, whatever.
You know, oh, I remember the club penguin, yeah.
Where you're paying to be a part of this alternate reality.
Yeah.
And like that's something that you think about too with like different universes and like extraterrestrial life and stuff. It's like maybe we're all on just a different, maybe it's aliens looking at us in like a video game and they're like just playing us. It's like a video game.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God, now we're doing it to ourselves in this thing. You know, it's weird.
It's mind bending.
But if you really think about it, that is scary that it just rewrites all of history, and it teaches us to be lazy too. The whole internet does, really.
It depresses us. I mean, you've heard the term doom scrolling before, where you just sit and you scroll on Instagram or Twitter or whatever you're on, and it's just all this bad, negative stuff, and it's over and over and over again. These horrible videos that you see all the time, and people getting dragged down and called out, and, and you're fake, and this, that, and the other, and it just it changes your mood and your neurological connections shift as well.
And it's interesting too. I've been wondering. So, like, you know, the trying to ban TikTok thing. You think about all the wars going on and what we know of them. A lot of it is because of TikTok. So
yeah.
Of course, they don't want to ban it here because you're not seeing the truth of what's happening. And then also the other thing that's happened recently on Twitter, X, whatever, they've hidden likes because you can't see, because people were getting in trouble. Like, people.
But like the horrible.
Horrible. In support of horrible genocides, whatever, all these things happening overseas. And then it was bringing to light, and they were getting in trouble for supporting it.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, Twitter likes are hidden, and it's like,
hey,
I wonder why they're hidden.
Isn't
now.
That odd?
Because you're trying to censor it and like protect people.
Yeah,
it freaks me out.
And the Supreme Court just handed down a decision where essentially saying that the government is now allowed to, because this was a whole free speech thing,
right?
On social media,
free speech
like
doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. But basically, the White House, or you know, whoever, whether it be Biden or Trump or whoever in the future, they have the authority to go in and like take stuff down, like your government. Like if they view it as misinformation or whatever, they can go and delete it.
The
Supreme Court. Supreme Court
just passed that.
Yep. This week.
Newsflash: government corrupt.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
Yeah.
Because they could say anything is that.
Yeah. Anything's disinformation.
So this is what makes me mad about this country, though, is that we're like, oh, we believe in our freedoms, and why do we act like we're the only free country in the world when we're really, 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 really not?
Right.
Like, we love being free. Like, okay, newsflash, you're not the only people that are free. I don't know if you realize that
Because we have Chuck Norris, and he makes cool
videos. Exactly. That's right. We have Chuck Norris and Sylvester Stallone.
I just hate that, like, we always push, like, free speech. It's like, dude, it's the opposite of that.
A lot of it's going
to free speech until it offends
someone. It's going to get worse.
Well, and only people are allowed to be offended, and so, you know, it's scary. Who is the God of us who is allowed to decide what is right offensive and what is wrong and what is misinformation?
Shouldn't be anybody.
Well, they're going to, we're going to put it in AI and we'll see what's misinformation. Okay.
Bingo.
And who is controlling that?
Yeah.
I just saw a report. Peacock and NBC, they're using
AI Al Michaels will be on a football game this year.
Read that. I was like, wait, did he die? And I was like, no, he's not dead. So why?
Why are we doing this? Why are we pushing? Why is there such a push for artificial intelligence
instead of Al Michaels?
Whenever there's a big push for anything, it's like, why?
You got to exactly.
The real guy's right here.
Yes. Yes.
Why are you pushing this on me right now? Like,
whenever something's being pushed the way it is, the way AI or whatever, quickly.
Without a lot of information.
Exactly. Not a lot of parameters or guardrails up about it. You always have to ask why. Why are they pushing this? We don't need it. It's not really helping anything. It's costing money. Al Michaels is alive.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't left us yet. Why are we having AI Al Michaels? Like, oh, this will be fun and funny. Like, no. It's
just trying to desensitize you to it.
There's like one dude that's worked his ass off his whole life just being play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, man, I just got in contact with NBC and Peacock, and I think I might be getting the job. And it's AI.
And it's AI. Exactly. And it's AI. I mean, is this the future? Like, okay, this is the test round. We'll put Al Michaels in AI. If it does a good job and it's accurate and it acts, quote, human, then maybe in Laura Rutledge, you're out of a job. Alyssa Lang, you're out of a job.
Yeah.
Scott Van Pelt, you're out of a job. Kirk Herbstreit, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know.
It's, like, disgusting. And it's like, why are we so, no one's really like thinking about it. We're just like, okay, this is just how it's going now.
Yeah.
Ooh, before we go to a breakdown, we're talking about AI. This is not AI, but as you guys know,
the sound
Allen
machine.
Stephen A. Smith is a known Knicks fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we heard about the trade yesterday with Mikal Bridges.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And there's a lot of Villanova players, right? So
yeah.
Let's just play this little clip here.
This is funny.
Have Villanova you heard this? Doesn't have a real NBA prospect on their squad.
Bro, that was man. Right before the national championship.
Was that 2016? Yes. Yeah, 2016.
That man needs to retire from opinions swiftly.
All right, let's bang through some text here real quick before we take a break.
That's free speech that I might...
Maybe not that guy.
But his will never get censured.
Texter at 6613. I'm not going to read on air, but yes, I agree. Again, texter at 0197. I'm not going to say it on air, but yes, I agree.
Oh, my goodness.
Texter, we're not really free when we are the only democracy that elects presidents the way of electoral votes. That's a... I'm
Dude,
not gonna
I
that.
Remember being in elementary school or like middle school finding out about the electoral college, being like, wait, so our votes really don't matter? And a teacher's like, yeah, no, you're... No, yeah, they don't.
Yeah, they don't.
Like,
yeah.
Right, cool.
Yeah. Texter Rig, I think you're wrong on Elon. He's not like the others. That's your opinion. I'm not gonna crap on your opinion, but I
my guy, not
I've done
agreement.
Some deep dives on Elon Musk.
My guy, derogatory.
Yeah, he has a really weird background story, and it's not really clear, but that's a whole other thing. Texter, it's all one cycle surrounded by the brain. Artificial intelligence eventually is made into robots. We figure out these robots will never be as good as humans, and we understand that the human brain is the ultimate artificial biological robot. I hope you're right. I hope we do
that's
figure it out. That's my hope.
Innocent, light way of hoping. For it.
Texter, the movie that you described was called The Matrix. Yeah, The Matrix is one of the best philosophical films ever made. 100%. The philosophy and the philosophical themes in The Matrix are amazing. Texter, Catholics clapping in their cars right now while Southeast folks are crashing their cars in anger. We hear you, Anna. Texter,
sorry.
Constantine changed the narrative of Christianity. Oh, man, yeah. There's a book called The Mushroom and the Cross. It's a really crazy read, but
is
I've not read
Bello?
That.
Just kidding.
Well, Texter, a couple more. The Bible's written to keep people in check and to keep women in a certain place/role. I don't think the entire Bible
because if you really read
for.
It, it's the perversion of the Bible that
yes.
people try to teach you.
Texter, Lilith was the first Karen. Texter, do you think caller Emily is a Nephilim? Texter, did you watch this series Supernatural? Seems right up your alley. The last half of the series focuses on biblical lore, something incredibly cheesy, but also cool as far as lore goes. I've watched it on and off. My wife really likes that show a lot. They actually have a character named Crowley on there, and I don't know if he's actually like Aleister Crowley or if it's just his name after Crowley. I don't know that much about the show to say specifically one way or the other, but yeah, there it is. All right, we're way late for a break. Let's take a break on the other end. Hoosier Hysterics, we'll get into it on the round table.